wife of filmmaker Spike Lee. And when I want to know the 411, I listen to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
You're so good. See, I see why Spike is staying all up in love. You think Spike would, if somebody says something about Tanya, you think he'd do a smackdown? Yes, say yes, yeah, you know he would, huh?
Yeah, he would.
Okay. He would.
Yeah.
What you mean? They've been married forever, huh?
Yeah. He'd do the right thing.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I bet you won't just be bold and say anything, right?
That's right.
Vocal and learn. Don't you talk about my woman.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all learned that. That's learned with a T. You learned that over the weekend during the thing.
Yeah.
Because that was all the students were talking about. They were jibber jabber, jibber jibber. What do you think, Miss Kay? What do you think? Sure. I'm like, of course. I mean, you know, I know you're supposed to have decorum at your highest level and blase and speak the king thing wrong. But I mean, you don't trash your woman. You don't trash this woman like that. Because she was up there at the big table, too. I just think that, you know, Chris just needs to shut up on that.
We'll find out. He's on tour starting tonight.
Well, you know, some stuff is not funny on jokes.
Yeah.
If she has alopecia, leave her alone. She has an issue.
Yeah.
And black women have always had to deal with hair issues and scalp issues. We're tired.
Yeah.
Let's see what happened when folk get tired.
He went too far.
Right? He did. Sometimes you don't need to be doing jokes about handicapped people and all that either.
Especially since he did a documentary years ago on good hair.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, doesn't he have children?
He does.
Yeah. Because I remember one time Tracy Morgan was in Nashville, and he did this before the wreck.
Yeah.
And he was doing some jokes on handicapped people, and I really was feeling very uncomfortable with that. And because it was at the Rhyme, I was like, oh, I don't like this kind of stuff. You know, shortly after that, he was in that crash.
Yeah.
And then he was almost paralyzed.
Sure was.
So folks better watch what they say and with their lips. You might seal up your fate now. I'm not trying to preach. I'm just saying. Anyway, there's so much on the Take You Home Express today. It's not funny. And normally I advance tell you who's on the show and all that kind of stuff and, you know, da-da-da, you know who's here. So you're going to be finding out a lot of stuff as the train rolls along today. I want to tell you this, and then I want you to get the gentleman on the phone.
He's ready.
Oh, he's ready already?
He's ready.
It is really difficult because of the high velocity of this station and the sheer amount of things that are cranked out of here that most people just can't even fathom. WFSK, I told you sometime, I think it was maybe last year, that we were selected as one of four historically black college radio stations in the United States to participate in an HBCU radio preservation national pilot program. So, you know, no pressure, Sharon Kay, no pressure. And they visited us a couple years ago and determined that we would be a good candidate for the final four, because there's only about maybe 29 or so black college stations in the United States, and they toured just about every single one. So we got picked, and yesterday and Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday, were our days for having the training workshop, because we've been doing a lot of stuff on Zoom and hearing from the other stations and this and that. And so the research team and all members came to do a workshop yesterday at the library in the computer center, and they were actually here Monday too. So that's where I've been for the last couple of days, learning about the digitization process and how to preserve the WFSK history. So I'll be working on that project, and because people that know me know I've been kind of quasi-working on a project for the station's history. And next year is our 50th anniversary. I just want to give a shout-out to the Special Collections staff I met yesterday at the training, and also the Fisk Library archivist who's going to be working with me on the project, and then the Special Collections people that Nobody knows us. Well, I'm about to blast you out. So having said that, I'm very excited for the station. This is an excellent opportunity. This station, WFSK, is the oldest station of all of the four. And one of them is in South Carolina, I think. One of the stations is in North Carolina, or two of them might be in North Carolina. And we're the only, the Tennessee. So I'm very, very excited because this is a big deal. And I want you all to be proud of the station, and it's a big deal. So you're going to hear me talking more and more and more about your collections that you may have of your own that over the years, or photos or anything that you can give me to get. I've got quite a bit of background and history collected. And when I roll this history out to you, you're going to be so surprised at some of the connections and some of the things that this station has to the history of black radio, period. You're going to be so surprised, because I was. But anyway, having said that, if you know some things, or have some photos, or you have some old cassettes or some old something that you have that we can use to start building up our collection to tell the WFSK or WRFN story, our initial call letters before they changed the call letters in 1983, please do contact me at the station. I have so many people that over the years I've been talking to, taking notes like crazy. I have a lot of stuff I've been doing research and homework on. And just to let you know that you're going to hear us talking about this more and more and more and more. So we're trying to digitize the history of the station from 1969, when the students first had the conversations and discussions and decided that they wanted to do this, and they were being proactive because they wanted their words to get heard, and they wanted to speak to the community and to the issues that were happening back in the 60s. And they got together and they decided and worked and had to vote and meet. So there's a lot of pieces, historical pieces, that I have been collecting on this project. And it does make me respect more our black history and how we reserve and preserve our own family names and what we have contributed, because this is American history as well. Please contact me at the station. And again, you're going to hear us talking a lot about it. So if you have, look around in your closets and in your old junk drawers and all that kind of stuff, where you keep all your old things, at your old photos and all that, so they can be part of the archive that's going to be online at the, we're going to have our collection online at the John Hope and Aurelia Franklin Library for you to see and show it to everybody. So this is a big deal. And it's a big deal for the station. We're the little guy, and it's a big deal. Now, speaking of big deals, it's always a pleasure to have back on the show someone I've talked to before. Because I'm like, I know I talked to him. It's been a while, but I have. And that is Dr. William Arnold. And, you know, I think everybody passes through this way once or twice on the broadcast. And Dr. Arnold, it's so good to know that you're still busy in this work and doing great things out in the community. He's the director of the Tennessee Office of Reentry. And how's everything going with you today? You good?
I am well, Sharon. Thanks for having me back. Good to hear your voice.
I know. It's like you got to catch up with people. You know, I haven't talked to you in a while. Yes. Yes. Now, there is, this is the month of, I think, is it April? That is reentry month being celebrated or being put to the spotlight for people around the country. Is it April that we're talking about? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, April is National Second Chance Month, and it's the month where we recognize the collateral consequences of people who had a criminal conviction.
Yeah.
And we hope to unlock second chance opportunities in terms of jobs and other things for people who completed their sentences to become contributing citizens to society.
Excellent. Much needed service and program. I know you all are going to be kicking off a month-long campaign and programs across the state, and I'm very, very happy for it. Could you, before we start talking about where the kickoff is going to happen and all that, could you explain for people that are not familiar with this type of programming and why it's necessary in our state, and is the Tennessee office new?
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, reentry, of course, is the process where people come back into society after having been incarcerated in jail or prison. It's that afterlife, if you will. And with that, the Office of Reentry is, we like to say, we're the new kids on the block. Mm-hmm. We've been around since July 1 last year, and we are part of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Mm.
Okay, and who's the one that started the program?
The program was actually started by the division of Governor Bill Lee. Our office, actually, we are a state-funded office. Mm-hmm. Reentry efforts have been around, for a number of years. Normally done by nonprofit organizations or even departments of corrections. That's one of them where you find it from a government standpoint. And we're happy to say, Sharon, that we're actually the nation's first non-Department of Corrections Office of Reentry that's funded by the government.
Really?
We're a statewide office. Yeah, we're a comprehensive statewide office. And what it allows us to do is that we don't see reentry through that traditional lens of corrections, mm-hmm. and that we've never housed people. We've never been the custodian of people being incarcerated. So we see this work through labor, through the idea of, if you can get a good job, Sharon, you can come out, you can live your best life, reunite with your family, with favorite communities, and recidivism, which shows when folks go back and forth to jail or prison, recidivism will go down. Because it refocuses your time and your energy.
Yeah, because I think the community doesn't spend enough time, thinking about recidivism or the fact that, people may or be at the point where they want to turn their life around and, they're ready to be responsible and make amends for the damage done. It's just, something that folks get to a point, they don't want to be criminals forever, but they don't want to be punished forever. And what can you give me an idea of what all the service delivery is in that reentry program?
Yeah, so if we're talking a bit about Friday, that we're referring to our Second Chance Month celebration. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to be at Catley Park Community Center on Friday, April 1st. And we started at 9 a.m. and we went until 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a number of different resources available for people who are reentering society. Mm-hmm. Most prevalent is that for those who don't have driver's license, we'll be able to get your driver's license in play. Mm-hmm. We're going to have an expungement clinic for people to get things taken off their records, mm-hmm. A job fair. And we'll also be able to register people in our system, which is Jobs for TN, a case management system where we can keep you connected with services that can help remove a lot of the barriers mm-hmm. that keep people from reentering society successfully.
Well, so many folks, feel discouraged. Is there still this issue? I've been hearing about that on this show for years, about ban the box. You check the box and you're done. You won't get a, we have a problem in this country right now where there's a shortage of people to hire. It would seem like, now's the time to be rethinking this process. How is your office helping to transition people to get them ready to be rehired or even trained?
Sure. So in addition to resume writing workshops through our American Job Centers, we offer workforce training, conflict skills training, a number of different trainings that get people ready to get back into society and get back out there. We also recruit employers and businesses and market the justice involved population to these employers. So we try and match folks with the right place for them.
Now, what is, you said this is the first of its kind state. And, you know, I'm glad because, you know, it's about, I would say it's about time. Is this a part of the administration's justice reform, or it just seems like out of the blue? I mean, who helped Governor Lee with this? Somebody had to.
So, of course, as I said, it was inspired by Governor Lee's vision. And I think what was probably a big piece of that was the criminal justice task force that he convened with 100 different folks, some more justice involved themselves, meaning they've been incarcerated, legislators, business people. And from that, our office was born as one of those reforms. So we work closely with the Department of Corrections, in addition to other state agencies, to leverage partnerships to be the best services and to help folks overcome barriers to employment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just seems as though, you know, the punishment continued. Do you all, Dr. Arnold, could you hold on a second? I need to get my, the folks on traffic report, so stand by, okay?
Okay, hold on.
All right, hold on 1 second. Now, we're hearing about the reentry program. They're having this big statewide big deal to help folks. And, you know, I love stuff like that. Yeah. I wake up in the middle of the night like, okay, Lord, what they going to do today, Lord? How you going to help the people? So, you know, I do. Y'all just really don't know. And so we're going to hear on the other side more about that because the kickoff is in Nashville. Anyway, let's check in with Commander Chuck coming up. And everybody is on full weather alert. Oh, Lord. You know, so we're going to talk just about a sentence or two on the wind advice. That wind ain't no joke. Hold your wigs, Nashville. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Traffic's been crazy slow out here in Wilson County today on I-40 in the Mount Julia area. They were repaving, then a truck flipped over earlier. Busy on the South Loop, the West Loop. Extremely windy in Middle Tennessee with some storms coming at us from Memphis. Be careful if you have to go down I-40 again towards the Memphis area. This traffic report brought to you by Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Sunday morning at 7. I'll have your news headlines and issues of the day. Then at 8 o'clock, the author of the short Bible, Peter J. Bielsma, is back to continue our discussion on his book. It's a chronological summary of the Old and New Testament. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
AP News Service on Jazzy 88 is supported by Nerd Wallet.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again
Sharon Kay.
Already Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I had to do some behind the scenes, and I said, X, ask the guest, is this the William Arnold that I used to know from the Wayback Machine? Because I haven't had time to concentrate on my own show today because I've been busy getting to the history of the station. And number one, I love you.
Thank you.
And I have not,
I love you too.
I have not seen you.
And, yeah.
Okay, now, you go back to the beginning a long way with this show and Miss K.
Yes, ma'am.
And I love you. and I want to get, we got his number right. Okay. Oh my.
Yeah.
Look at what the Lord has done. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Look at what the Lord has done. I talk for a living, but you know, sometimes I can't get the words out. And you're over the program. Look at what the Lord has done. Somebody at church need to go on and shout at Bible study. Do you share your story when you are going to do these programs?
You know, actually, I really don't. I normally keep it separate. Because it helps me with work. It allows me to see the work through the lens of a person who's been there. But I use it as a guiding factor for anything else.
Well, one day when you do, I wish, anyway. And I know work is work, and everybody has to get good for work so you can keep your job. But you are the perfect person to do what you're doing, okay?
Thank you.
And, yeah. I'm going to call you off air when I can say what I really want to say. Because I can't. I'm almost out of time. But I am so delighted to talk to you.
I'm excited to talk to you as well, because I think we started having these conversations 21 years
Absolutely.
ago.
That's why I'm like, I cannot believe that, how small is the world. I said, I haven't talked to him in, a long time. Anyway, having said that, now, did you design the program? Did you help with the design?
I can't say I necessarily helped with the design as much as help create the infrastructure. We have a staff of six people. I mean, some of the artists working, smartest folks I think I've ever come into contact with. And I've just have been blessed enough to be a part of the team and to be able to provide sort of some vision and a little bit of guidance. But it's positioned to be perhaps the premier program in the nation.
How excited are you for the people? Because I imagine you probably had some help with putting some pieces in and knowing what to put.
Sure.
That, the community is going to receive it and want to participate. That's got to be an encouraging thing for you.
Absolutely, and you may know we're doing it in the best place to do it, because it's the 37208 zip code.
Okay.
And a lot of folks don't know this, but there was a Brookings Institute study that came out in 2018, Sharon.
I hate that study. I know what you're about to say. I hate it. We can't get that stigma off the zip code. I hate that study.
95% Sharon, of the folks who are incarcerated are coming home. That means that 95% of the folks who left the 37208 zip code are going to reenter society. They're going to be our colleagues. They're going to be our neighbors, our church members again. So that's exciting.
What's exciting is that one. What's not exciting is this highest number of incarcerations study. I'm like, y'all need to update. It's time for an update. Because this neighborhood is absolutely totally different than it was 10 years ago, five or whenever it was. That's the one that I just really can't stand, because it's done such a number on the image of this side of town. But it is that it reflects what you're saying, reflects why Hadley Park and this weekend is where you're starting the statewide kickoff. And so what do folks need to have IDs with them? What do they need to have to be able to get some of these services delivered?
Sure. Well, definitely you want to have you want to start out with your ID and any other personal documents, a birth certificate, a social security card. There's going to be the opportunity for folks to get matched with employers and fill out applications. But, you know, something that many people don't know is that many times folks who come out of incarceration don't have those documents. So the good news is that we're going to be able to provide those documents or services that we're going to offer that day. So if you need to get your driver's license, you need to get it renewed, and you have the right documentation to do it, we're going to get you taken care of. We're going to also be able to talk about voter rights restoration, which is a huge folks. So we want to make it as holistic as possible and be able to let folks know that, hey, there's someone who's thinking about you, who cares about you, and who wants to work with you at that office or reentry.
Is there, as part of the reentry, there is, for many, there's going to be issues of dealing with child support and things of that nature. Is there somebody there that can help with that, or is that another component that'll come later?
We will have some hands to talk about child support modification programs and how to work through that situation. Thankfully, the State's Department of Human Services actually has the child support modification program in place that we want to refer all of our participants to, because we feel that that's important in terms of taking care of a barrier that keeps people getting back to work and being their best selves.
Yeah. Now, is what Tennessee's doing, Dr. Arnold, isn't this part of like a national push or a national effort? And it's good to know Tennessee is at the forefront in terms of state. But I know the local Davidson County folks have been doing reentry for a while. Does your office work with them, or is there any plan for that?
Sure. This is really a Tennessee thing. We work closely with such agencies as the Tennessee Higher Education Initiative, the Tennessee Department of Corrections that I mentioned earlier, and definitely working with Dr. Carmen Turks over there at the Davidson County Sheriff's Office of Reentry and her staff. We recently had some really good talks with her about how we can work on smooth transitions from incarceration to reentry.
Okay. So as you're going from Nashville, give me the hours and the whole schedule for the month.
Sure. Well, as you said, we're going to kick off 9 a.m. on Friday with the Tennessee State University Aristocrat Business Drumline. They're going to give us a performance just to start off the event. At noon, we'll have Representative, the good Reverend Dr. Harold Love, give us a greeting. Immediately following that, our Labor Commissioner, Jeff McCord, will give the occasion. Then the Honorable Governor Bill Lee will give some opening remarks. Dr. Laura Ferguson Mims of Fisk Guide in her own right, proud grad Fisk, will talk a bit about reentry and higher education in Tennessee. And then Jeremy White, who's from our office of reentry, will talk about the idea of reimagining reintegration. And we'll finish it up with a keynote from local entrepreneur and justice involved individual, Robert Sherrill. So the push will run from about 12 to about 12:30. Our vendors and our exhibitors will be set up from 9 a.m. and we'll end at 2 p.m.
Okay. And from Nashville, you go where?
We go to Memphis, Tennessee. We'll be there next Friday, April 8th. And then April 22nd, we will be at the American Job Center in Knoxville. So our goal is to hit all three of the grand regions and to make certain that this campaign is statewide and well-received.
And the citizens know about it. And, you know, we're doing all we can. As soon as I found out, I immediately reached over to the PR person that sent me the information. And I did not, and I just found out a couple hours ago that it was actually you I was going to talk to. And my brain was like, nah, it's not him. Because, you know, you used to be on the show almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And this year is the 20th anniversary of What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. So,
oh, wow.
Yes. Oh, yes, honey.
Yes,
the Lord has been good, so I've been knowing you for a long time, okay? Even longer than that. I'm just very excited for you and feel that, you know, the Father is still on the throne. Now, tell the audience what the website is, and do you have to advance register or you just show up?
You can't advance register. You can go to our website, which is pn.gov. /labor, and it puts all this reentry up. We also have a QR code that you can access and go to our the registration page. Yeah. But you can walk right up. You know, we want folks to walk right up. We want people to find and get involved and get curious.
Absolutely. Y'all keep me posted on that for real. And you know, you got the number, right? Okay, because I'm going to be calling. And I like to keep my eye on these programs because it's crucial for the community. Is absolutely crucial. And I thank you so much. And I'm going to be calling, okay? Now, off air. I'm going to be calling, Sharon Kay. I'm going to be calling off air, okay?
I look forward to talking to you and my good traveling brother, Eric.
All
been a while since I've been both of you.
Oh, I know. All right, much love from What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, y'all take care.
Bye. Okay, check that. Be sure to tell your folks in the community, your loved ones and things about it that are just, you know, have been in the system and can't find a job and, you know, got all this smears and smudges on their records and, the, you know, folk don't want to hire you and different things, but the bills still must be paid and we don't want to see you go back the revolving door and the system be all that recidivism and carrying on. It's time to, you know, put that stuff out to bed and throw it in the dumpster and be done with it. So it's time to turn it around. And that's what this program is about. And I'm grateful because I know he knows what he's doing. And I'm glad that this state is taking the lead on it. And amen. And I hope that folks will just get the people out there on Saturday to do it. And they're going to be across the state in the three big major metropolitan areas, Nashville, Knoxville, and Memphis. And they're starting kicking it off here in Nashville at Hadley Park. And that is this Saturday, be sure. If there's folks in the community that you work with, know in the church or even in your own family, come on, Lord. Y'all know you got people, somebody in the family that just fell off the boat and messed up and things happen. And then they've done their time and they're out and they can't find a job. That's who this program is for. Get there this Saturday and, or this Friday rather, the Second Chance event is Friday, April 1st. No fooling, for real though. April 1st, Hadley Park Community Center, 9 to 2, open, free, open to the public and the resources and services and clinics and et cetera, will be there for you to help you. So you can't say, don't nobody care about me either. We don't want to hear that. The services are there. You just need to get there. Just get there. Okay, now, speaking of things, you know, I went total Nashville today. On the show and or total regional, and I just wanted to say hello to Renuka Kristoff over at the WeGo, and you all been going and you've been busy, so you know you catch my eye on some stuff, Renuka, because I'm always watching. You know, y'all got the purple logo and everything. You know, I'm always watching for the purple logo. You know, I love that logo. And the colors on my talk show are purple and something. But anyway, having said that, I thought this is big deal that the Hillsborough Transit Center, I didn't know there was going to be one. Tell me more, because I know people over there need what they need. And this is needed. Yeah, go ahead and tell us.
Yes, it's a very big deal. So this is our first neighborhood transit center over at the Green Hills neighborhood. And so what's very exciting is that folks can jump on Route 7 to get to 21st Avenue or Route 17 to get to 12th Avenue South. So that means for just $4, you can get from Green Hills to downtown Nashville or to that Vanderbilt area. And so it's an incredible waiting experience. You know, there's a covered area with Wi-Fi and all of that good stuff. So it's going to be a great way to connect, and it offers great accessibility.
Yeah, $4 is what the price of a gallon of gas, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can ride unlimited for that amount. Yeah. $4 a day unlimited.
And how long has this been discussed and come to fruition?
So, you know, it started, it's been several months now as far as the construction, and tomorrow actually is the ribbon cutting for it.
Oh, is it? Okay. Uh-huh. All right, that's right, because tomorrow is the 31st, isn't it? Oh, my. Yeah.
Tomorrow's the 31st, yeah. And so, and then effective April 3rd, we have our service changes, which is when folks can hop on Route 17 to get to 12th Avenue South.
Mm-hmm. I just like the fact that it's covered. You know, the areas are going to be covered, and because when we get those storms and wind and rain and all that, you know, the people aren't just out there with no covering.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And planning is well underway for the North Nashville Transit Center, of course. So that's, you know, stay tuned for details on that.
Oh.
But the other thing I wanted to highlight, Sharon, was that. We also have our new fare payment system called Quick Ticket, and we are giving away a one-month bus fare, a one-month fare. All folks have to do is download the app and then go on quickticket.com to create an account and then post on social that they've gotten their Quick Ticket and tag us. And they could, and then they automatically are entered to win a drawing for a one-month bus fare.
Because is ridership up since the price of gas went up, Renuka?
So I don't have the exact stats on that, but there's definitely been a definite stronger interest in riding the bus.
Mm. Okay. Now, we need to take a break, speaking of riding, get our traffic report, Commander Chuck. So hold on a second, because I had a little bit more stuff to ask you about. Well, that's good news for people living in the Hillsboro area.
Absolutely, yeah.
That are bus riders. So we're going to hear just a little bit more about that and the one that's proposed for North Nashville and whatever stuff Sharon Kay asked, because I've got a few other sentences, questions. And so let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Trying to clean up that wreck. 24 westbound at Briley Parkway north of town. Two cars involved in Madison. 1100 block of Gallatin Pike still tied up. It's still crawling out there in Wilson County. I-40 around the 230 mile marker. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Don't miss WFSK's Artist of the Week Thursdays right here on Nashville's Jazz Station. That's where we put the spotlight on new releases. This week in the spotlight is flutist and educator Kim Scott. Her latest release is entitled Shine. You'll hear from Kim in a live interview and have a chance to win her brand new release. That's WFSK Artist of the Week Thursdays on Nashville's Jazz Station, Jazzy 88 WFSK.
often influenced by what we see and hear online. Researchers say Black communities have been specifically targeted online by bad actors that post false information about cultural issues, attempting to increase divisions in Black communities, influence how we vote, and influence public opinions. Here's how to stop the spread of cultural disinformation. Get information from reliable sources like experts, researchers, or organizations. Make sure you're not misled by information or quotes shared out of context. Check the account. Was it recently created or has zero followers? It may be a troll bot. If a story seems suspicious, don't share it with your followers. Together, we can stay informed and empowered. This public service announcement is from the National Black Cultural Information Trust. Learn more at nvcit.org.
When I was in Iraq, our convoy was hit. It was bad. After I came home, I could still hear booms and see tracer fire. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
With help from DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Today, I'm part of DAV. We're veterans helping veterans to get the benefits they've earned. And I give my veterans my all.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Naomi Mathis, thank you for your service. May your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And Renuka Kristoff is with me from the WeGo Public Transit. And I like to stay up on what's going on with you all because public transit is a big affair for Nashville and always been one that is very much discussed. So when I see you all doing things and various things and then, you know, et cetera, then and this one here, I like this Hillsborough Transit Center. Now, you mentioned that there would be one here for North Nashville. Tell us about that plan and what's up.
Sure. So, we're in the planning stages of all of that right now, and we've been gathering input from the community, which has been invaluable. Of course, through that community input, we've taken all of that into consideration as we're as planning's underway for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the public input, you've already gotten it?
We've gotten the public input on it, and this is going to be the first neighborhood transit center for the North Nashville area, so it's pretty exciting.
Oh, that is nice. Now, where's it going to be, you said?
So it's going to be near off Clarksville Highway. I need to get the exact address for you, which I'll get in a moment.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to connect. It's going to be a great area that's going to have three routes, 22 Bordeaux, 25 Midtown, and 42, which is Cecilia and Cumberland.
Okay.
And they're going to connect at this location.
That's nice. That's nice. I know the people in the community will appreciate that. Now, is that center going to be identical to the Hillsborough, or because you got a lot of nice things that'll be inside the Hillsborough Transit Center?
Yeah. No, this one's going to be a lot more robust. It's going to be bigger, and it's going to have a lot more to offer. We're talking about an amphitheater, among other things, cultural exhibits. So it's going to be a really nice place.
Oh, yes, it is. Wow. Well, you're hanging out at. I'm hanging out at the North Nashville Transit Center. There's an amphitheater out there. I love it. That's fantastic. Well, you keep me posted on that. Now, before I let you go, I got to ask you. Now, is the Star Trade back on regular and, you know, with the thing that happened with the alert that you all gave about the one train situation and the tracks, etc.
Yes.
Well, okay, tell us about that.
So, yeah, it's all cleared. So it was actually another train that had derailed, which then blocked our Star, but that has all been cleared up. So it's riders are safe to ride.
Okay, safe to ride. Now, let me ask this question. Now, are you talking about the derailment between Hermitage and Mount Juliet?
That's right.
Okay, so it took, a week or so to get all the train cars back on the track or removed or whatever the case was?
So it was actually within a couple of days that it was all cleared up.
Okay. Because I know that road that's right there next to it, and I've taken it before, and that's close to some houses. I'm sure those people were pretty freaked out about that. So you all share, the WEGO shares those tracks with the freight?
Yeah, with the R.J. Corman freight. And so it's through them that the derailment occurred, and therefore... It took a little bit of time to clear up, and our riders then had to catch a bus back.
Yeah. I'm sure they were okay with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, we didn't get any complaints, so we appreciate our riders being adaptable and understanding, for sure.
Okay. That's a, isn't that a pretty well-traveled area, the routes, Donaldson, Hermitage, and Lebanon, and all? That's pretty well.
Yeah, it is. It is. We're not at pre-pandemic levels yet we don't have the commuters that we did, but those that utilize it are pretty strong fans of it.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought. Okay. For more information about WEGO, does she have a question about the WEGO? Okay. Let's go to the phone lines, Renuka. Someone wants to ask you a question about the WEGO public transit. Hello, Sharon. How are you today?
Son, how you doing?
I'm well. This is Renuka Christoph, and go ahead and ask her whatever you want to know.
They just mentioned an app that you can download, and you can win. Did they have 4-day transit free ride or something like that?
That's right. So if you go to quicktickettn.com, you create an account, Quick Ticket, TN.com.
Okay, so the number 10 or the word 10?
TN for like Tennessee.
Oh, TN. Okay, dot com. Okay.
You're going to go on there because you need to win, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I like to do this. She thinks about saving a little bit of money here.
Passing the word.
Yes. Hey, get on there. You can't win if you don't get on there and do it.
So, yeah.
Hopefully you will.
So when you get on Quick Ticket 10, that'll just show you where the app, what app it is, and go from there.
Okay, so the website, that's where you create your account. But then you want to download the Quick Ticket app. So if you go to the App Store on your phone and you just download Quick Ticket TN.
Okay.
That's how you can ride the bus. But then once you download it, all you need to do is post on social media that you've done that, and you will be automatically entered into a drawing.
Okay, and is this just for the Hillsboro route, or will this be something you can hold if you want to use for the Clarksville Highway route?
Oh, it's for everywhere, for the entire month. You can go anywhere.
So this is not for the... Those two locations that you're talking about. This is just a regular bus service.
Yes, that's the beauty of it.
Okay.
You can ride anywhere.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, that's enough to get you encouraged right there. You can save you some money. Yes.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Renuka, I'll be checking back with you on that now. What's the deadline on the registering for that?
So we're doing it the entire month of March, which is almost over, and April. Download and sign up.
Okay. Well, I'm going to circle back with you, and then you can remind them to do it, okay?
Absolutely. That sounds wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Sharon.
Of course. You have a good rest of the day.
Well, you do the same, and okay. Thank you again for having me.
Of course. All right. Bye-bye. Tell the students to come in here, both of them. Both of them. Y'all, come on. Miss K said. Okay. They can't argue with me. I'm on the air. That case isn't me anyway, but I'm just saying, you know. Come on. One of y'all sit here and the other one sit over here. Where's Jamil? Shut the door, baby. Oh. Yeah, this is a real thing. This ain't rehearsal. And see, Makai already knows what Miss K is capable of doing. Because I don't already threw him under the bus, right? Did you tell your mama?
Oh, yeah, I told her.
Get closer.
I told her.
What'd she say?
She was happy you threw me under the bus, actually.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Thank you, mama. Well, I think we can touch and agree on that. And I think maybe I have... I'm trying to catch up on my podcast postings. I realized that for the whole month of the whole year 2021, I didn't post any episodes. So I have the entire year of people asking me, when are you going to do it? But I think I'm starting to do right in 22. I think I put yours up so you tell mama that she can hear it over and over and over again. So that'd be worth the price of sending you to college. Okay, now, Jamia, you are from Tennessee State University.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you are new.
Yes.
And Miss K hasn't thrown you under the bus yet, has she?
Not yet. Okay.
This is what, your second week?
My third.
Third, is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, time flies by.
It does. Okay, and what's your major down at TSU?
Mass communications with a concentration in integrated marketing.
Okay, and how did you find out about us and all that?
I walked in.
I say the sign, somebody. That's what we pay for. You don't know. Nobody says, you know, I saw your sign. So did anybody refer you? How did you, because you're not from here. Where are you from?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, so the word spread to Detroit?
No.
Okay.
So what happened was me and one of my friends, we were walking Fisk campus with our TSU shirts on. Biggest mistake, by the way. We was getting some nasty looks.
Tell her, Makai. You know, walk over, strut around on the Fisk campus with a TSU shirt on, okay?
It was so bad.
You're so obvious you're not from here, okay?
But we was walking, then I saw the sign. I was just like, they have a radio station here? And the girl who was giving us this tour, she was so nice. She was like, yeah, but no one really goes up there. I was like, I'll
get her name. Get her name. Okay, we're going to pay her a visit. I'm going to popcorn call her. Okay, we should not have our students not knowing.
Oh, my God.
Nobody goes up there because she hasn't been up here.
Yeah. So
we have to help them.
So I said, don't worry, I'll be up there soon. And so during my spring break week, I came up here. I think it was a Monday when I came up here.
Yeah.
So I talked to Mr. X, and then he talked to you. And that's how it
is. Okay. And there is a huge disconnect with the students and the staff and faculty here because we haven't been around each other.
Yeah.
And folks don't know stuff. You know, it's been a lot of remote working and, you know, a remote everything. So nobody really knows of anything or anybody. And everybody's just getting a chance to move around on the campus.
And the disconnect is very, like, it's noticeable.
It's real here. Noticeable. And I'm sure it's real in other workplaces.
Right, in the classroom.
Yeah, too. Yeah. And we've got to do something about that so people can feel the love and the warmth. And, of course, you know, they can feel that, you know, because I was walking from here to the library yesterday, and I was passing out a few things, bumper stickers and all, and I had on my station shirt. And you know, I introduced myself to everybody, and I'm like, we the cool people. We upstairs, we in the cool wing. So, you know, okay, because they was happy to hear that, you know, we were in the cool wing. Okay, before we started today, I asked both of y'all a question. And because I had heard this, when I had heard that such and such, I'm like, that don't sound right. So let me ask my students that are interns this semester. Okay, Jamia.
Yes.
You don't go to Fisk, but you go to TSU.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go Big Blue. Go on, say it. Get it out. Okay, get it out.
Hi, my Tiger family. Okay. Hey, Dr. Glover.
All right. Go Big Blue. So they just have to just get that off their chest. When I said to you, I had heard that today's students don't see a need for a book or don't use them. And what was your thought when I asked you that question?
I agreed, essentially.
Move up closer to the line.
Oh, okay. I agreed, essentially, because a lot of these people I encounter sometimes, they just like, I don't really read. I more sort of think. I'm like, where are you thinking from, though? And they can't answer my question.
They think.
They think. They're thinkers, not readers.
But where do their thoughts come from?
From themselves, and then they get confirmation from people that agree with them. So they don't go double checking to see, hey, maybe if this is painful to somebody else. They just be like, oh, I don't care. It's my own opinion. It's probably right most of the time, even though it's not.
Well, that's totally arrogant right there. I mean, wow. We got some work to do, grown folk, for real. Okay, Makai, different university, down the street, HBCU. What was your reaction when I asked you that question?
I would agree with you that most students tend to depend on electronic sources for their information. You know, we live in that age where internet has a big chokehold on our
it does.
On the community.
Yeah.
Personally, I do feel like students should, you know, use books and people. You should use books more to find information. I mean, that's where most information is, you know. Like, they keep stuff about our culture, you know, our history in books, ways to make money, ways to be successful, like, in the book. So they put it there for us to find it. We just have to look for it.
And so, therefore, don't get rid of it.
Right.
Don't make it obsolete.
It's
too easy for people to revise our history. That should be of deep concern to Black Lives Matter people. That should really concern y'all about the revision of history, because your stories are going to get retold, too, if they're not documented. And that's disturbing.
Even on the internet, it's like revised, and then even people make up their history.
Well, that's why the internet should not be your sole source. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't. And you know, we've come a long way, yet there are so many areas that we haven't passed on generationally to y'all to let you understand that how far we've come. Because we used to be, we weren't even allowed to read,
right.
Not to have access to a book. And now everybody's like, all of a sudden, we don't need no books. Lord. Okay. So when you went to church with your grandpa, and he didn't have his big, thick church Bible, that's a book. Okay? I mean, seriously, because we done fell so far off the cart.
Yeah, that's part of the disconnect you was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That's also a disconnect.
It doesn't make any sense. And so much is unplugged and disconnected. Parents, did you not read to your children in a book when they were young? You didn't just see everything on a gadget, I trust. Give them some exposure to other things. That was this week's question. How you think Jamia did? I didn't get her like I did you. Okay? I was easy on you because you TSU. I got to be nice.
I like a challenge next time.
Oh, well, okay. I got you. Okay. Now, you talking to the wrong sister right here. Anyway, Jamia, when you get your degree, what do you want to do?
I want to go to music and art, or just discover artists and then give them a platform. I love music, so it's just something I always wanted to do, because I always saw my favorite artists not get their shine or their correct marketing. So who am I as the person who's doing A&R and doing the marketing? What should I do? What position should I be? So. Yeah.
Okay. And you do know that there have been dramatic changes in the industry, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel 50-50 about it. because it's just like that. It happened during like my childhood, and now I got to see how it evolved as well. So,
okay, well, I just and I know what kind of time for you to go. And, you know, at five, he goes into overdrive like, ooh, it's 30 seconds past, Miss K. I got to go.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah, you see, I pay attention, all right? That's what I do.
He moves like it's a whistle, right?
Yeah, like
a ref's whistle.
I'm out. You on the clock? Wait, is it officially five yet?
I ain't tripping on the couple of minutes, Miss K. I'm enjoying
right,
the talk.
Right. Okay, well, former mayor's here. Is he?
He's here.
Oh, the former mayor of Nashville. See, I want y'all to meet him. Mayor Carl Dean. He used to be a regular on the show when he was mayor. And I haven't asked him back since. That's cold, isn't it? I mean, it's like, Sherry Kay, come on. I kicked the man to the curb. I didn't mean to. I'm like, dang, I ain't talked to him in a long time. So he's going to join us in just one quick second. So welcome to the team. And at the end, we'll have quiz, okay? All right, and Makai, everything going well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You having fun?
Yes, ma'am, of course.
Good. If not, you're in the wrong place, okay? All right, let's get our news and come back with the former mayor of Nashville, Carl Dean. And you all stay right there and don't touch that dial.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.